if that is allowed to happen, then all of the integrity legislation and all of the freedom of information legislation that we're talking about will go begging.
And nobody's held accountable.
Right.
That's the other part. How can you hold somebody accountable if the information isn't there?
Well, somebody must secure it.
Yeah, you got to be able to trace the system.
You got to be secure.
And that's why the files are minuted. Everybody through whose hand the file passes has to sign a little note, even the minister. Mm-hmm. But when the file gone, the note gone.
But there is a very interesting aspect to this whole discussion that sometimes we can miss. I think we allude to it when we say you cannot legislate behavior. And what is required in Barbados is a major push to reinforce issues of integrity across the board within the society.
And accountability.
But that discussion, that part of it, requires some kind of education program, some kind of plan, with the whole objective of reinforcing these values. Is that something that is on your agenda as politicians? Solutions Barbados, is this in the 9001?
Yes, it is. As I was just going to mention, that's all part of the ISO 9001 called Human Rights Systems. You have a system in place.
Let me hear exactly what you all are going to do under the ISO 9001 standard to reinforce the whole concept.
Yes. So, for instance, you have a file. A file will go missing because that's how the ISO...
I talk about educating the public. I didn't talk about the file. Right. I am talking about the process of educating the public of Barbados.
Yes, that is... that's the inefficient method. That's the inefficient method to go and try...
That's one of the methods. That's not the only method.
No, what I mean is that if you're going to try and educate the entire public, then you can do that, but the ISO system focuses on the person who is delivering
exactly
the service.
What I was suggesting to you, yes. Your ISO 9001 does not address the question of speaking to the public. It addresses the process.
Yeah, it addresses the public so that when persons go to get a public service, then they're enjoying themselves.
That's not the question I put to you.
Yeah, but that's why I'm saying that the ISO 9001 conference for the management system doesn't really have a part of trying to educate the public. No, because you don't need to. They're coming to collect or to participate or partake of a government service. They come there, they're pleased and happy with the service, and they leave pleased and happy. So what discussion is there? Because they're really happy. I didn't want to know, but
I'm going to put one more thing to you.
Okay, go ahead.
You realize it appears, and it could appear to others, that as long as it isn't in 9001, ISO 9001, it's dead.
I don't understand that.
That public education campaign is not in your ISO 9001, so you forget it.
What I'm saying is that the public service that the individual or the public will access, the system relies on the public being content, satisfied, wowed by the service. Because you're improving the service all the time. You're continually improving the service so that the public is satisfied with the service. And therefore, there's no need for them to complain twice. They complain once.
So you're
trying to find out what's the root cause of this complaint. You address that root cause so that they don't have to complain about that again. You complain about the sewage once, it's dealt with. You complain about missing files once, you find the root cause, why is the file missing? And you address that root cause so that you don't have the symptom of missing files anymore. But I didn't want to mention...
So the culture that encourages a person working, let's say, in stores to give away the government stuff to their friends because the friends are suggesting to them that because you occupy this particular position, you should be in a position to help us out. Because as somebody said, one hand can't clap. And as much as you're trying to protect the person who is holding the post, to some extent, from the badgering that comes from that community by sensitizing the community to what is right, rather than just concentrating only on one end of it. That's the point I'm making to you.
Yes, so I understand that. But the ISO system is the fellow who is tempted to go and give away the government's goods, okay, will realize that there's so much accountability in the auditing process that he'll be found out. But fine. I just want to mention one thing about the Public Accounts Committee, because about bringing politicians before it, because it can be used politically to try to embarrass other politicians for mischief. So I was trying to find out from Mr. Marshall whether these politicians were sent questions that they'll be asked, or questions that you want answers to, or did you just ask them, please appear before us and, you know, we'll just ask our questions then? Did you give them the questions that you want answers to?
We didn't give anybody, not the permanent secretaries who came, not the clerical officers who came, we gave nobody the questions. The statute allows us to make an inquiry, and that is what happens.
I understand that. So had you asked some questions, then they will come with the evidence or with something that you asked them. But if they just come in...
I don't even know.
I do not even know how to respond to that. Minister Chris Sinclair, whom we summoned, is a member of the Public Accounts Committee and knows full well what we were inquiring. We've requested files. The ministers had briefings from their staff who appeared before the committee. But, you know, if you think that the ISO 9001 is applicable to government, I wish you well. But I would like to suggest that running a country requires a little bit more than an engineering perspective and a super technical approach.
Other countries have used it to their benefit. To their great benefit. We rejected it back in 2004. I think you did, actually.
I Google ISO 9001. Yeah. And you know what I saw? Applicable to local government environment. But Mr. Phillips didn't see that part.
Okay.
David, sorry. I wanted to just come in on the
Google?
Notion.
That's what he's using?
The Google? Notion of public education and the notion that research, not necessarily legislate behavior. So I have a little bit of a difference in opinion about that. Huh? I think that government can use various things. Government uses incentives to change private sector behavior. Government uses sanctions, etc., to encourage different sorts of behavior. And if you can look at a child in a family environment, when you raise a child, 90%, 95% of the times, it will be a product of the environment. So it's important to ensure that we get the environment right, and that environment can act as a counter against specific types of behavior. Mm-hmm. So the suggestion that we can't legislate the behavior, I hope that is not being used then for us as an excuse to ensure that we are able to make sure that the environment in which that we have is one that ensures the correct types of behavior when it comes to anti-corruption.
When we were starting this program, you said that Dale Marshall would have had to leave us at 12 o'clock. Well, he's given us an additional hour, but he has to leave now. So your parting shot, Mr. Marshall, your parting comments?
Well, let me just say that my party is committed to not just new models of governance, but we are committed to seeing a whole new landscape in relation to integrity in public life. It is understandable that the electorate will say, we've heard this before, and why should we expect the Barbados Labour Party to do anything different? I understand and I empathize, but Barbados has passed the place where there is any government that can play fast and loose with government assets, with government resources, and with the psyche of its people. Barbadians are opting out. They've become apathetic to many things. They care little about the political class and less about governance. And if we're going to bring us back, we require not just a positive attitude on the part of the electorate, but we require all hands on deck. And I don't see that we can do it without bringing effective integrity legislation coupled with freedom of information and other supporting things in the suite.
Okay, thank you very much. And as Dale Marshall leaves, we hope that we'll get back Adriel Brathwaite on the telephone line. We've been trying to do that for quite some time now, but without any success. In the meantime, let's go to the telephone lines. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon. Crystal is still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yes.
I I was concerned when I heard earlier the comment made about not being able to legislate behavior, because we legislate behavior all the time. Mm-hmm. If we allow persons to rob each other without consequence, we would see a lot more of it happening. If we allow persons to commit murders without any consequence, we see a lot more happening, and those are behaviors. The difference between that and what we have now is that we've had a culture where the behaviors we're talking about now have been allowed to happen, and there is a lack of education in terms of what is considered to be corrupt practices. And in many cases, I think there's a fear where persons think, suppose I fall into that category and I am one of these persons that is corrupt. I think the emphasis should be on education, regardless of whether it falls into a particular framework or not. We need to let persons know what corrupt practices are. We need to let persons know what the consequences of these corrupt practices will be. That is the way how you'll be able to legislate behavior. If you can enforce, as Chantal would have mentioned, if there's no enforcement, if when we enacted the seatbelt law, we did not have any consequence, there would have been no change in behavior. I recall, because it was part of that culture, where before that law was enacted, many times we would get into a vehicle without a seatbelt. And then we had a heavy enforcement with officers taking persons to court and making them pay the fine. And you saw a change in behavior very quickly. It is now an exception to see persons driving without a seatbelt. So it drives home the point that legislation is not what is the only thing that is required to change behavior. There also needs to be an educational component, because I saw it all over the GIS. It was all over the news. The media took a hold of it and shared with Barbadians what the changed behavior was expected to be, and then there was swift enforcement. So if you do not have those factors in place, you will not be able to change behavior, but this is not to say that it is impossible. And it's also not to make people feel afraid that this behavior that they were engaging in before, they're now going to have to be guilty retrospectively. It's to make sure that people change behavior going forward.
Okay, let's take another call. Hello? Good afternoon.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm well, and you?
I am good. Mr. Alex, I'm visually impaired.
Yeah.
And I was diagnosed legally blind from England when I had my operation. And as legally blind as I am, I can see that Barbados is a very corrupt place. Because there are a lot of things going on, and you point out a couple of things. For instance,
be careful. Speaking in very general terms.
Okay. A man will commit murder, Mr. Ellis. I understand. And for whatever reason, he's got put on bail. But a man will keep going to the store, and he will carry a tin of corned beef from the pocket salt bread, and he will get 3 months. And that is wrong, as anybody can see it. It is wrong. You understand? Because then eventually that person that commit murder, then eventually then after bail for so long, then you will eventually get 10 years. But as soon as you catch that man with that salt bread and that tin of sardine, he get instant 3 months. That is so wrong. I am in this disabled world to stay, because there's no help for my eyes as long as they have breath. There's no help. But all I'm telling you, Mr. Ellis, for instance, you know, in the books, I'm not sure the correct term, but you know, since 1967, you know that there is a statute that if I am disabled, if anybody becomes disabled, they can't work for more than $31 a week, as long as you collect a non-contributive pension. I'm not saying supposed to have it both ways. But let's say, Ms. Ellis, that I have a little skill. And my skill might be, let's say, making tamarind balls. Or let's say, making a basket or two. With this sargassum TB that is all about the place, and they could be able to do something with it. You know, eventually, if I make sufficient sugar cake or something, and $1, you know, eventually they might non-contributive pension that is taken away.
Do you think that's unfair?
That is unfair, Mr. Ellis. I'm just saying, put it in a way that, okay, not $31 a week, Mr. Ellis, even if, okay, let's say you take a bit of money and contribute to pension.
But you're taking me into an area there that is a little bit, you know, away from the subject that we are discussing today. Though.
Right, but I'm just saying, but there's a lot of things that we don't see. For instance, I got an accident a couple of years ago. I went to this lawyer. He told me, okay, I keep going back with my car time, but I got frustrated one day, and I tell him I'm not coming back. He said, don't give up, Miss Griffith. I'm going to work with you. Anyhow, he did call me and he told me, okay, the people are ready to sign. You need to come in, sign this document here, there. Okay, so we're going to be in your radio. This is 18 years, 17 months. I haven't heard him or nothing about that. But you know, you go to the people that who's supposed to look after the lawyers or the corrupt lawyers, you know you hear nothing. You know you hear nothing, Mr. Ellis. So who is out there? Who's really corrupt? The corrupt is the people like you and I, or is the corrupt is the people who looking after the legislation about bills that are corrupt.
So is it strengthening? Really, ultimately, you're talking about trying to strengthen some of our systems and our way of operating.
Yeah, but
have a way of undermining, you know, public confidence in institutions and stuff like that.
But I don't have any confidence in. I don't have any confidence in B, D, E, P, Q, or Z. I don't have confidence in any. I understand. And when is it going to change for us? When are we going to see? Okay, that.
But Barbadians behave in a way that suggests that people can do almost anything they want with us, and we don't stand up. We don't speak out. I mean, this integrity group Barbados question is, after the elections, will this be around?
Exactly.
You're waiting to see to what extent there will be continuity. And had it not been for a relatively small group of people, the rest of Barbadians will say, so what? I have people, friends of mine, who tell me, so what? People do that all over the world. So what are you complaining about in Barbados? And then you change the government? People can behave the same way.
But Mr. Ellis, I just heard over your news that there's a gentleman that got caught out in Trinidad after 15 years. When last in Barbados that we hear a lawyer, a doctor, anybody at all?
Somebody of substance being charged in connection with anything like that.
Anything. Tell me, Mr. Ellis, when you see.
Other people have written that here in the chat to me.
It's true. And not only that, Mr. Ellis, we got to sign the Fair Trade Commission. Fair Trade Commission, Mr. Ellis, don't work for me, no, don't work for you, because you go into certain companies or businesses, houses, and you ask them, okay, if it says don't work, can I bring it back? No, you cannot bring it back. But where's the Fair Trade
Commission? That is about, and I'll move on to another caller, but I think, thank you very much for raising those issues. That is really about how different individuals and institutions follow up, because the legislation did make provision for officers and offices to function in a way that members of the public could go and raise issues and get answers, and they would follow up. But if the parties involved in the process do nothing, then the public is left to drift. That raises the question of what do we need to do now to make sure that there is greater movement in those areas? That you can't have a person appointed to a job and everybody knows that that person is not functioning to assist the public, and yet they sit there, draw a salary, do nothing, have absolutely no accountability, or so it appears. I mean, it hurts those people. How do we fix that now?
Right. Institute the ISO 9001 quality management system, because they tried it in El Salvador. Their customs department was one of the most corrupt customs departments in the hemisphere. They instituted ISO 9001. Quickly it turned around, almost miraculously. So much so that countries in South America came to investigate how is it that they got this thing turned around without laying off a single of their civil servants, and they were all over 50 years old. Without a great public public education campaign, even when we had the recent helmet law, the law was just implemented, but because of the penalty, people changed. When we had the seatbelt issue, yes, there was a public education campaign, but during that public education campaign, very few people wore the seatbelts, but it was a penalty on the day, and therefore the people changed right away.
You know what the problem is with respect to ISO 9001? If you are telling me that in El Salvador, ISO 9001 made the difference, then you have to spell out to me exactly what was done in El Salvador that made that difference. But just come and telling me ISO 9001, I cannot connect with ISO 9001 in every specific area.
Yes.
You have to then drill down and say how it was applied in this particular area or will be applied, so that people can see the difference that it could make.
Yes, if I'm given some time to speak, because I don't, though, because I'm almost cut off.
You guys don't do that at all.
I can't, because you're always cutting
me
off.
You have been here on this program how many times now? And you get the opportunity. You've had several opportunities.
Yes. Well, give me some time.
Not a half hour. No. Otherwise, you got to pay for that time.
No. No, it's a management system.
No, I don't want that.
See, you're gone again.
That's not what I'm asking you for. Right, so, all I'm asking for is that where you are applying it,
yes,
as much as possible, give people a little bit more detail as to how the system is implemented in that specific area or how it would be rolled out. If you do that, people will have a better appreciation of where you're going with it.
Okay, good. Right away, everybody will
El Salvador.
Tell me
about El Salvador.
No, I can tell you just about...
Because somebody complained here about customs. I didn't share it aloud.
Yes.
But how would you make a difference in customs, for instance, with ISO 9001?
Right. So it relies on persons making a complaint. So someone complains, I can't get my barrel out. It took me 5 weeks to get my barrel out. So you find out, why did the barrel take so long to get out? Well, you may find out that someone could not find the paper, right? Couldn't find the papers, the documents. Why couldn't they find the documents? Well, they couldn't find the documents because someone had misfiled them. Why had they misfiled them? Well, they misfiled them because they had 20 documents on their desk, and they properly filed 18, but didn't, and misfiled 2. Why did they have so much documents on their file?
Or somebody paid them some money to hide them.
No, let me continue the example. So why were 20 files on their desk? 20 files were on their desk when they should have only had 5. Well, because only 1 or 2 people are working there instead of the 3 that were working there before. So why are the only 2 people working there instead of the 3 persons? Well, because someone retired and they did not, they weren't replaced. And therefore, the work was spread around.
Because of the financial strictures.
Maybe. But then you drill down then to what is the root cause of the documents not being there? What's the root cause of this symptom?
Economic situation.
It may just be there was money voted in to replace the person, but that money went elsewhere to to buy a car for maybe somebody.
That's all about Barbados.
Right? So maybe instead of taking the money and hiring the replacement employee, the money was taken to go and buy a car. Right. And that's the root cause. That's one possible. That's why you drill down to find out what's the root cause of this problem. And it's usually a management problem, and it's not normally a problem of the employee.
So when you find out that person has taken the money to buy the car, what happens then, Granville?
Right, and then you solve it. Right, and then once that's the root cause of it.
How do you solve it?
Then you decide, well, why was that happening? Why did you go and put the money in the car? Well, maybe you put the money in the car because it was too expensive. No, but that's it. You always find, because you're here
but you're
next to me.
A series of all
right,
things.
Right, and then you find
you
the root.
Understand why he needs time to explain this thing. You understand?
Right, but
let's get another call. Let's take another call. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon, David. Good afternoon, Chief.
Good afternoon, man.
Good afternoon.
The young lady, I find her easier to speak with, so I'm going to just state what I have to state to her. As far as the Auditor General's report, it is past due for financial year ending March 31st, 2017. Why?
Which of the young ladies you want to talk to, though?
I think it was Chantel.
Oh, okay.
The one that knows the most about accounting.
Oh, that's Crystal. Who's the auditor? Is
it? Crystal on the telephone.
That's the one I want to speak to. Hi. Isn't it a part of the Constitution that by a certain amount of time, that Auditor General report has to be laid before the House of Assembly?
Well, we actually have an unusual set of circumstances as Parliament has been dissolved.
Yes.
So from a legal
conveniently dissolved. Conveniently before it was laid before the House of Assembly. But that's another story, and I will bring that up during the week. The next one is, there have been several cases that have been published in the paper where lawyers have withheld clients' money. That could easily be nipped in the bud. I've said it on this program numerous times. Open an escrow account for the client where neither the client or the lawyer can get their hands on that money until the land has been cleared. As simple as that. Open an escrow account. I had to do it when I lived in New York. I refused to pay my landlord. I went to the courts, opened up an escrow account, refused to give him the money, but opened an escrow account. And when the judge settled the case in my favor, I was allowed to withdraw that money and keep it for repairs that were never done. So I don't see why we can't do that. We make things a lot complicated, but you're not dealing with an ignorant society anymore. You know, it's not even the same society I came to 18 years ago. People are aware and alert. People want to read and understand the Auditor General's report. They're reading the papers now, not just the obituaries. People are concerned about this Barbados. And if we have to fight with our blood, sweat, and tears, we are going to fight for Barbados. Don't be fooled by this accent. This is my homeland. Do you understand my point?
Of course we do.
Just wanted to just come in and ask, and I hope you don't mind. For me, I hear you about the fact that we have an educated society and that people want to fight for Barbados. My question is, I'm interested to find out, is where's the evidence of that fight? Because I think David was alluding to the fact that we talk a lot about, we complain a lot about the things that are happening, and the issue of corruption. You hear politicians, some saying, but there's no issue of corruption. There's no evidence coming forward. People are not talking about it. It's not a big issue. So how do we demonstrate that?
Can I explain that? They are undermining what we are trying to accomplish in this country by those kinds of statements. Someone rightfully said it. One of your previous callers said it. You can, and we have, legislated behavior in this country. The problem is, it is rarely enforced. Mm-hmm. You know, it's rarely enforced. I mean, I've been reading Auditor General reports for the last 10, 15 years. None of the Auditor General's recommendations are taken seriously. 10 years ago, you were supposed to move from a cash basis to an accrual basis. Is that being done? No. You know, a lot of, and you know, when I was an accountant, our ears were always alert any agency who didn't hand in their financial reports on time. They were given 30 days, and by then, we sent in the forces. Mm. We dismissed them and took over the books in that office to find out why it had not been turned in. These are the alarms that should go off. But I hear more and more people talking in this country, and I didn't hear it 10, 15 years ago, about integrity legislation. Yes. Yes. Go see the huddles in Jubilee Gardens and in Independence Square and in the market. That's all people are talking about. Corruption. Police corruption. Files missing. You go to court, the case is dismissed. Why? Because the files went missing. Why? Because the accused is related to somebody within the system. All these things need to be corrected in Barbados because it's is provoking a very angry and emotional law-abiding citizen.
Where do you see that? Where do you see that Barbadian citizen, and how do you see that anger?
I hear it. I walk down Swan Street. People are open with me. You know that, David. People know me all down in Swan Street. They speak to me about their concerns. I can almost tell you, and it's not only from Swan Street. It's up at Warren's. Everywhere I go, up in Eden Lodge, I'm mixed with the people. They know who I am, and I know who they are.
What are they saying?
Well, I'm not going to talk from a political view, because that would be very unfair. That would be very unfair, and I'm not a political scientist, and I'm not a political analyst. I can't talk from that. But what they are saying is they feel like they've been disrespected as a people in their own country. They feel like they are being governed by foreigners who don't give a damn about them. Take, for example, Easter time. A time when mothers want to buy their kids and do the American thing, Easter eggs, and have special foods on the table. Welfare mothers did not get their checks on time. Well, that's deplorable. You know, that broke my heart right then and there. I wish I would have known that in advance. You know, because our little armies could have set up to help some of these kids at least get a chocolate bar, something, and some food on their table.
But how does the...
We cannot allow this to happen in Barbados when we have big ups who we don't know where they got their money from.
How does the climate surrounding the debate about corruption in our country impact on those people? When they speak to you, does it matter?
Yeah, because I'll say to them sometimes, have you gone to the police? The police is a waste of time. I had a robbery here. I didn't even call the police. I could care less. I got people to go looking for the person. They came up with a name and a license number. But you know what? I fed up with dealing with the police.
But this is a Barbados where a lot of people like to get a break. If you could get something for free, no matter what, where it's coming from, people don't care. So tell me about that Barbados that you are encountering, because I'm giving you the other side of it that, you know, I know exists.
The Barbados that I'm encountering tells me that the people in Barbados, if they continue to allow their emotions to be suppressed, they will throw their intelligence out the window, and they will respond to their emotions, and that's a dangerous thing to happen in any country.
Yeah, I think you touch a very sensitive area there, and that is something that we need to watch, especially those people who have power, whether that power is private sector led or government led. That power needs to be exercised in a way that is sensitive to the possibility of what can happen if you change the people's behavior. It's very, very serious, and there are some people who seem not to care about that, but it is
The majority do care, David. The majority of people do care in Barbados. The average law-abiding person does care, but they feel that that power is not protecting and supporting them.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks, the People's Parliament edition today.
Barbados! Start your soca engines and rev it up with Bajan Soca Royalty. Starcom Network, in association with Cropover City, presents Soca Ignition. Be in the Soca Kingdom at Bagatelle Great House on Saturday, June 2nd from 9 p.m. for the best of Bajan Soca Royalty. Sweet Soca King, RPB.
Oh yes, the water rough.
Soca Queen, Allison Hines.
The man's on fire.
Multiple Sweet Soca, Party Monarch, and Road March King, Edwin Yearwood. People's Monarch, Sanctuary.
But if I drink too much.
Former Road March Kings, Lead Pipe and Sadis.
In a living less than me, I'm done. I'm feeling.
Reigning Party Monarch, Lil Rick.
I got the energy.
And the Prince of Bajan Soca, Piper Sounds. plus the Trini Soca Kings, Voice, Ravi B, and the Soca King of New York, Lyrical. Tickets are available at $70 general and $300 VIP from Lucky Horseshoe, Bridgetown, Warren's, Worthing, and Bagatelle. CS Pharmacy in Bridgetown, A&B Music Supplies in Sheraton, Smart Store Lime Grove, Eddie's Supermarket in Sprightstown, Lil Munchkin in Sky Mall, Starcom Network on River Road, and online at www.ticketnation.bb. Soca Ignition, Saturday, June 2nd at the Soca Kingdom Bagatelle Great House. It will be like a movie, so get your tickets now.
Oh, yeah. I cheat even the prettiest girls all over me.
Planning an event can be as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1. Choose a business that offers a solution for event and patron management with Ticket Nation. Check. 2. Work with a friendly and professional team that eases the hassle of gate management and event reconciliations with Ticket Nation. Check. 3. Find a platform that helps you sell more tickets and support stronger bonds with your buying audience with Ticket Nation. Check. It's simple. Ticket Nation is the best choice for ticketing and event management. We give you a range of printed and online ticketing options as well as patron management solutions that are seamless, transparent, and efficient. Give us a call at 430-5510 and let's get started.
Down to brass tacks. Hello. Good afternoon. Yes, welcome.
Yes. Good afternoon. It's nice to see that the attention was focused on lawyers, and I believe that that should remain so for a very long time still to come. It's amazing that an engineer can give a solution to a problem, and he's drilled. I mean, he responds in any event, and a lawyer says, no, don't listen to him. Dismiss him. Listen to me. I'm committed, and I empathize with your problem. And then he could pick up and he's gone. You know, pages like y'all are so committed to these lawyer people, and they just don't get it. So the only thing I'm going to get from this particular show is to ask a direct question to the two attorney generals, the past and the present.
Neither one of them is here. So you can hold that. Neither one of them is here right now.
I know, but let me ask you a question, because they can always call back in today or tomorrow or something. To the one that is the present attorney general, here's the question. Direct question for a direct response. And it speaks to abuse of power. A prime minister can go past the lawyers that are employed by taxpayers, you know, the Solicitor General Office, the Attorney General, all of the 200 lawyers that are employed as legal officers, go outside of all of them and employ a private lawyer who happens to be a friend. Here's the direct question. I don't want a policy response. How much did that taxpayers have to pay for his engagement? Because taxpayers pay that bill. Yeah, you know, he engaging David Commissar in the law court. He went to a private lawyer. I want to know, direct response, how much did taxpayers have to pay for that particular thing? That's the past, this is the present attorney general. The one that's left because he don't really want to hear what engineer had to say. Here's my question to him, another attorney general. When we had the World Cup 2007, a very enterprising, very talented, creative software developer designed a program that was supposed to enable people to enter at one point through one port, and then they would have access to all the ports throughout the Caribbean. It was a very well thought out plan, and it could have sold internationally. It would have made millions for Barbados, and it was supposed to have been launched at the World Cup in Barbados. Somehow, those plans leaked out and went to an international company. I can't call the name because Davis will cut me. And this person got the contract to do this World Cup thing. Almost copied to the T what this guy had planned. The Attorney General came on TV. He smiled at the past one. Smiling broad, don't worry. This thing will resolve. It will be resolved. But after the World Cup has taken place, it has not been resolved to this day. In fact, what has actually taken place is that there's nobody you can sue. Because this CARICOM Secretariat, really and truly, is not even an entity that could be sued in court. So this is a man that now will dismiss an engineer for a solution. No, listen, I'm so empathetic to your concerns. I know you've heard it all before, and you have no reason to trust me, but trust me this time. And he's gone out of the office now. So here's my direct response question to you, Mr. Past Attorney General. What has happened to that case that this very enterprising Barbadian, who lost everything because of that particular circumstance, and you were involved? If I even want to ask you about the collapse of that building out there in what that place called again, a whole apartment building dropped down in a hole.
All right, that's a different matter.
I would like very much to know, direct response, what has happened now, certainly, with, at least with the case with the developer.
Fine.
Come back and call in. You tell me something. Just say something. Because I have absolute, you know, like the other, the small parties are saying, the new parties are saying, We don't believe you. We just don't believe you or the other side.
Okay.
Who's on your parties? I'm very sorry.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you doing, sir?
I'm well, and you?
I'm hanging in there.
How much of today's program did you hear?
How much?
Of this program have you heard today?
I heard a good set.
Based on what you have heard, what stands out in your mind?
That the justice system in Barbados, through the lawyers in Barbados today, need to be, have a body over the lawyers about the fees that are going on in this country.
Okay. What did you call to say, specifically?
Yeah, I am. I, as a member, not a member, but I, as a person who wanted to be a representative for the people of Barbados, I am very concerned about the way things going today in Barbados.
You say you wanted to be a representative? So you belong to a party?
Yes, sir.
You're the guy who came here this morning?
No, sir.
Pardon?
No, sir.
Okay, because a guy turned up here this morning telling me he representing Kingdom something, and he wanted to be in a program. I did promise him that I was going to call him back, though, and I really should to get him on. But you don't belong to a political party?
Yes, sir.
Which one?
SPDC/CUP.
What's that one?
SPDC/CUP.
CUP? C-U-P?
C-U-P,
yeah. I'm familiar with that one either.
Okay.
Who heads that particular party?
One heads by Mr. Mark Anderson, and the other one heads by Mr. Mitchell.
Okay. So now that we've established your political credentials, let us now talk about the subject at hand. What are you all proposing that's different?
What are we proposing? It's about the system.
To deal with the challenges with corruption.
Corruption in the justice system.
Real or perceived?
Real.
So how are you going to deal with the problems in the justice system as you see them?
How are we going to deal
with
that?
What's your proposal,
Our proposal is to set up a body where that you will have proper lawyers that we will look through the...
What's a proper lawyer?
The proper lawyers, they have lawyers in this country that don't get no recognition, that just do good work in this country. And they have another set that in this country that believe of their self, them should cheat the people of this country.
Okay,
from their
so rate. You're going to protect us by doing what?
By setting up a body, a union body for the people, so the people can...
A union?
Yeah, like a union. It'd be like a union, like.
For who? The people or the lawyers?
For the people.
For the people.
Yeah.
So we don't have enough unions already.
No, Mr. Ellis.
So how will this union be different?
Because it'll be an independent body of people who are.
With the Barbados Working Union. Barbados Workers Union isn't independent. The National Union of Public Workers.
I think so.
And if you have reservations about those, what about Caswell Franklin's union? Then that's an independent.
I think that he's a good man. That's why he's standing independent.
So why you need another union other than going through his then?
Because if you look at it carefully, some of the same lawyers that you were discussing about today work for the same unions.
Let me ask you how this union is going to work in trying to solve the problem. I mean, I got to treat all of you with the same degree of respect.
Thank you, sir.
So how is this union going to make a difference in dealing with the problem that you're talking about?
The public committee that you all was talking about today.
Public accounts?
Public accounts committee, yes, sir.
How are you going to link the two now? Let me see where you're going from
there. The two of them, where you will have a lawyer that the people of this country will vote for as the person who will be taking care of their business in the House of Assembly.
You got me confused. So, I don't know how you get the Public Accounts Committee.
You had Mr. Marshall just now had you confused.
Yeah, well.
It's the next Marshall that come now to confuse you as well, too.
I understand.
Yes, sir.
Well, don't worry about me, you know. It is the public that you got to worry about.
The public, right.
If I get confused, that's one thing. But when you confuse too many people out there, it makes no sense talking at all. Anyhow, your party needs a lot more time to put its case, and I don't know that I have.
You don't have the time,
of time here.
No,
I'm hearing about this one for the first time. Actually,
I'm willing to.
If I got the time,
I've been to you all already to get to sit down and talk with you all, but you're all
no. If you want that kind of information put out there. I can give you the name and number of my advertising manager. He would be very willing to sit down and talk to you about how you can get information on the air in the way that the public can get more of an understanding of who and what you are. So we can facilitate that for you. There are opportunities from time to time that we may believe that an emerging party, a small party, needs to have a voice and that sort of thing. But, you know, or within the context of balance, as many of the small people, independents and that sort of thing, we have to look see how we can accommodate them. But you need to make your presence felt, first of all. I mean, share information and that sort of thing.
Sure.
Okay, Mr. Marshall?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello. You're on the air. Welcome to the program. We have just about 14 minutes left in this program. Hello? You're on the
air.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Miss Ellis. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm good, too. I must say good afternoon to you and your guests.
Yes.
And I must say that I've been listening to the program, and I find it fairly interesting. As a matter of fact, I think that this is a discussion we probably should have had long ago, possibly even before the turn of the century. Because you remember that there's a gentleman that me and you revered that was taken to task, Mr. Ellis. Taken, you know, really to task about this same type of corruption. And after $8 million and an inquiry, it could not even be laid in Parliament, and he gone to his grave a wounded man. See, Mr. Ellis, there's perception, there's proof, and there's absolute proof. And after $8 million, there isn't any absolute proof.
Do you now appreciate why some people are calling for a special commission to look at this, rather than the structure that we have known over the years, where something like the Public Accounts Committee has apparently been used in a way to just slur people's names from time to time, and after the elections, nothing is heard of the particular incident or allegation anymore. I mean, we've had it with a variety of things around here. We set up commissions of inquiry, look into these matters, and when we're finished, nothing happens. And what does happen out of the whole exercise is that it is used sometimes for political gain. So we're trying as best as we can to create an environment where once you go the distance, you're going the distance because there really is evidence that something is terribly wrong. And you can zero in on who's ultimately responsible for it. You understand?
But Mr. Ellis, the corruption that I see is not laying it in Parliament. That was corrupt, in my view. To after spending $8 million and putting together that, then to don't lay in Parliament.
Yeah, but so we agree on that. But let me say something to you, though.
I want that clear.
I just want to say to you that, I mean, I listened to this presentation last year in October, where Sir David Simmons was talking about the situation with the Turks and Caicos, where the British government actually suspended their constitution. That has not happened. That kind of thing will happen in an independent Caribbean country. But this is still a colony of Britain. And in those circumstances, Britain went in there and was involved in radical surgery to the point where charges were brought against the then chief minister and other ministers of government. The government itself has been able to get back something like $30 million, 25 to $30 million, all right? And basically, from there, you go to South Africa where there are allegations against the former president. Lula is in jail in Brazil, it is. I mean, there are examples around us. We wait to see how long Netanyahu will be able to survive in Israel. So we live in a world where people with in more powerful countries, bigger populations and everything, and more prestige and clout have been brought down by corruption. And what you're trying to do is to create an environment where you avoid that here in Barbados. But the other side of that coin is this. The Barbados climate is ripe for people to get their names tarnished, even when they have done no wrong. The system that we have is helping to create it.
Mr. Ellis, I hear you all speaking there about protection for whistleblowers. I have no problem with that. But what about false accusers? What about false accusers? Will there be a penalty for them too?
You know, you can recommend anything, you know.
But you know you can't have your cake and eat it too. So if the whistleblowers is going to get protection, the false accusers, remember, you know, that like even Jesus Christ asked with the lady at
that
the
doesn't
well.
Sound unreasonable, you know. It doesn't sound unreasonable.
He asked, where is thine accusers, you know? And you know that...
Do you believe that we are at a stage where this matter really needs to be addressed? Or are you in the camp of the Attorney General who says, you know, when you look at the index of corruption, Barbados is low, and therefore... He sees no major reason to fuss about it, even though he says they're putting legislation in place. Where do you stand?
Well, I believe he would say that there probably ain't no need to panic. But one, in my book, is one too much. You know, there's good and there's bad.
How have you seen the atmosphere and the environment change over the years?
Well, I can tell you that our good friend was destroyed and destroyed needlessly. Because when you look for absolute proof...
No, but we've gone beyond that. There. We've gone beyond that specific case. Well, when you look at the overall landscape here in Barbados today, how have you seen it change for better or for worse?
Well, Mr. Ellis, you know, last week while we were speaking... that you was fascinated with Bolt Project. You coming back again this week? You doing a separate program, joining the band today?
Possibly down on Friday.
I
got all of my information for you on the Bolt Projects.
Including the Auditor General's reports and stuff like that. But you see, the Auditor General's report,
you see, what fascinates me about you is that perhaps if another political party had been accused of doing the same thing, you would see everything wrong with it. But because it is structured in the way that it is right now politically, you will sit down here and try to encourage us to believe that all is well. Now, no, I can't fly in the face of what was documented. Anecdotal evidence. This is what was actually done. But you and I will talk about this Friday in more detail. Okay?
Right, cool.
Thank you. Down to brass tacks. It's 5 minutes before 2 o'clock. Welcome to the program. You're the last caller today. Perhaps what I should do instead is go to Crystal because we don't have a lot of time. So, Crystal, give me your closing comments. Where do you see us going from here? Transparency International, I understand there's some talk about doing something new with that. What's on your mind?
Yes, Andy and myself, amongst some other concerned citizens, are on that board, and we're trying to get that in, pushed into order, because I am hoping persons are not of the view that a change in government will mean that everything magically falls into place or that the work has to end. I actually think it will now begin, because even if some parties are willing, they may not have the tools necessary to get us to where we need to be. I can speak for myself as an individual. I considered it my civic duty to make sure that I help persons understand things like the Auditor General's report. And I'm calling on more young professionals, sorry, doesn't have to be young, but professionals in general, to share their knowledge and to appeal to the persons within their social circles to help them to share what they understand on these technical reports, because Barbadians want to know. They want to know where Barbados stands, not just in financially, but as a country, if we are doing well. And the Auditor General's report speaks very much to some a lot of the issues that we've been discussing.
So where exactly are you going with Transparency International? You say you're on the board? How big? Because I don't hear much about Transparency International right now.
We're now starting to get that into place, because we realize that there seems to be a disconnect for a lot of Barbadians in terms of what transparency is and what it means. So we're trying to partner with Transparency Institute, the international body, to help them to guide us as to what would be expected, and we're not going to follow it whole suit, because there are going to be things that will not be able to work for Barbados, but there's nothing wrong with taking guidance from an international body and seeing what best practices will work for us and how we can learn from them and from the countries that have benefited from this information in terms of how we can get Barbados up to a standard where persons are proud of where we stand and where we are and understand the information that is shared by government. And whichever party happens to get into power, I hope that they will be willing to work with an institution like this to help bring more transparency and more accountability into the going-ons of the country.
Well, that's Crystal Howell. I want to thank her, Andy Armstrong, also Chantal Monroe Knight. We have also had in the studio with us from Solutions Barbados, Grenville Phillips, and Maria Phillips from the United Progressive Party. Representing the opposition Barbados Labour Party has been Dale Marshall. And we have had on the telephone line for a period Adriel Brathwaite, Attorney General of Barbados, representing the ruling Democratic Labour Party. I'm David Ellis. This has been the People's Parliament on Down to Brass Tacks for this Tuesday, the first day of May 2018. Thanks also to Graham Vaughan, who has assisted me as technical operator and as producer of today's program. Do enjoy the rest of your day.